For 2,000 years, Christians have struggled with a simple yes or no question that has sometimes sparked controversy within the church. Are believers required to tithe? Well, that question may be simple, but the answer most certainly is not. Today, financial planner and teacher Rob West examines both sides of the argument so you can decide for yourself. And we'll take your calls on this topic or anything else that you're wondering about, anything financial, 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. Are Christians required to tithe? That's next on MoneyWise Live. I didn't mean for that to be poetic, Rob, but are Christians required to tithe? That's next on MoneyWise. Well, you know, when you've got it, you've got it. What can I say? Hey, Rob, I guess that that almost every pastor and probably most Christian financial advisors have been asked that question at one time or another. Would you say this is an issue that reasonable people can disagree on?
I think that much is fair to say, but it's also a question that each of us needs to decide, not on the basis of talking points, but on God's direction after earnest prayer, because the answer to the tithing question goes to the heart of our relationship with God, Steve. Whichever way you decide, you have to do it for the right reason. If you believe tithing isn't required, but you're basing that decision on greed, well, you're jeopardizing that relationship. On the other hand, if you believe tithing is required, but you go about it legalistically, I believe that's the wrong reason as well, for God loves a cheerful giver.
Yeah, isn't it somewhat ironic that there are these issues in the body of Christ that good people with earnest prayer still end up disagreeing on? And maybe that unto itself is something we can learn from.
Well, that's right. There are commands, but there are also matters of conscience or conviction that I think we need to pray through earnestly.
Right. Well, I'm sure we have some new believers listening today, so maybe we can just start with a definition. What is the tithe?
Yeah, it's simply one-tenth of your income. In the Old Testament, Jews were required to give a tenth of their income, or you could say increase, to support the temple and its priests. But it didn't end there, Steve. There were also requirements for additional giving as well.
With that established, the core issue here is whether believers today are still under Old Testament law, right?
That's correct. Yeah, those supporting a requirement for tithing will often cite Malachi 3:10, among other verses. That reads, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing." But then again, those who believe tithing is no longer required will recite Romans 6:14, "For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace."
Yeah. All right. Paul specifically says we are no longer under the law, but under the new covenant of grace. Shouldn't that pretty much settle it?
Well, you might think so, but those who believe we're still required to tithe will cite Genesis 14:20, where Abram gives a tenth of his victory spoils to Melchizedek, who's described as a priest of God Most High. They'll also point to Genesis 28, where Jacob pledges to give back a tenth of all that God would give to him. I just read that the other day. Since those examples occurred before, though, the Mosaic laws, Steve, were handed down, the thinking is that tithing didn't end with the Old Covenant and therefore still applies.
Yeah. And what would the folks on the other side say about that?
Well, they have an answer for that as well, and it goes like this. The examples of Abram and Jacob are different from other mentions of tithing in the Old Testament. They were a one-time or limited event and in no way indicate that Abram and Jacob continued tithing as a practice. Also, the decision to tithe was their own. They weren't following laws or even customary practices at the time, the way I read it.
All right. So this debate goes back for a couple of thousand years at least. It probably won't be decided by us today. So where does that leave us?
Well, I wonder if maybe God left it that way on purpose, Steve, so that each of us would have to make our own decision because that will exercise, or I should say that exercise will reveal our hearts. And to be fair, I think most people on both sides of the tithing question know that they should support the church. And I would go as far as to say support it systematically. 1 Timothy 5:17 5 says, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain, and the laborer deserves his wages. You know, Steve, there's a lot more we can unpack on this, and maybe we'll do that a bit more and even take some questions on this right after this break.
All right, sounds great. You're listening to MoneyWise Live, our special Friday edition. He's Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. Here's our phone number. Call right now, 800-525-7000.
Even in these uncertain times, you can replace fear with hope. And Michael Blue's new book, Financial Hope, is a hands-on study to help you do just that. A short assessment will show you exactly where you are now. You'll then unlock the four H's of biblical financial wisdom and put your action plan in writing to transform your finances. Right now, request your copy of Financial Hope when you support MoneyWise Live with a gift of $25 or more at moneywiselive.org.
Our friends at Sound Mind Investing have been helping Christians reach their financial goals since 1990 with step-by-step guidance for investors just getting started, making choices in a 401k, or getting ready for retirement, all grounded in God's Word. The SMI slogan is Financial Wisdom for Living Well. More information is available online at soundmindinvesting.org. The SMI website also includes articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
What is your biggest obsession? Odds are it was different a month ago than it is today. It is hard to not get caught up in the pandemic and the far-reaching effects it is having on all our lives. Everywhere we turn, the news is about the coronavirus and what changes it is forcing to our everyday lives. We are often pulled into things in ways that steal our focus from what should matter most. Other times, the stress and worry of life force us to think only about what matters most. As much as times like this remind us of the importance of good health, family, and community, there is one relationship that matters more than all the others. That is our relationship with Jesus Christ. He wants to walk through these uncertain times with you and take all your fears. If you want to know how to do that, then call 888-NEED-HIM to learn how to begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That is 888-NEED-HIM. Or chat with us at chataboutjesus.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
You know, as Christians, the way we use our money, the way we manage our money is totally different to us because money says a lot about who we are spiritually. Money is what God uses so that we can relate to others and help others. It says a lot about our faith and our hearts. And this one question that we've been talking about today, Rob, tithing, giving, how much, how little, Old Testament, New Testament, as we've already said, we're probably not going to settle it today because there are great Christians on both sides of the issue. But, you know, where do we want to finish it up? What do you want to say about money, finances, and God's work in our lives?
Well, I think, as I was saying just before the break, you know, despite where you come down on this, I think it's clear that we need to support the work of the local church. That's God's plan A. We need to recognize that He owns everything. He doesn't need our money, but He wants us to be generous givers because that's good for us. Money can become an idol, but giving breaks its power over us. 2 Corinthians 9, I believe, is very clear. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know, many people, and I would agree with this notion, believe that the tithe should be the training wheels of giving, that you should strive to be even more generous if you're able. It's a starting point, not an ending point. And at the very least, Steve, I like the idea of being systematic, or perhaps you might say a percentage giver, and then increase that amount as you're able and see if God doesn't pour out his blessing on you as he said he would. We don't know what that's going to look like. It's not a give to get. It's a give out of obedience. It's a give as an act of worship. But I would also say that if you're in a church where the pastor teaches tithing, you're under that leadership. And I would say you should then tithe. But I think this is a matter where there is room for different interpretation. We should develop our own convictions. But clearly, we were created in the image of an incredibly generous God, I would say the ultimate giver. And so that means we calibrate our hearts to His when we're giving, and we most look like Him or resemble Him when we're giving, because remember, He gave everything. He gave us His Son, who paid the ultimate price for our sin so we could be reconciled and restore our relationship back to the Father. So this is something that's on the heart of God. As you do it, I'm confident you will find ways to reorder your finances to do even more. Yeah. And that's because what Jesus said is true, and that is, it is better to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So we should be givers, Steve, and we should do that systematically. And I think it starts with the local church.
Amen. And that calibration of your heart, I think that's something that actually happens automatically the closer you get to God. The closer you get to God and sense His Spirit, the more generous you'll become. And that doesn't happen overnight, but I think it's kind of a lifelong thing. And, you know, when you sense God, when you feel God, when you being obedient to God, you naturally want to reach out and help others. And that may be financial. That may be helping the widow next door take her garbage out to the side of the street. I mean, you just want to do for others what God has already done for us.
Well, that's exactly right. And that's just the way it works. As you begin to experience the joy of giving, it becomes contagious, and you just want to be able to do more and more of it.
Did you have to use that word contagious today, Rob?
Too soon, huh?
Could we?
Got it.
800-525-7000. Wear your mask. Let's go to West Palm Beach, Florida. Hey, Mike, what are your thoughts on this? Hi, Mike.
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit, Mike. Yeah, try to move to a place where maybe you have an extra bar or two on the phone and try it again.
How about now?
That sounds great. Go right ahead.
Okay, you guys kind of touched on what I was thinking a minute ago, but I think that for people who don't tithe, I think they don't fully understand maybe what that tithe does. You know, the 10% of whatever you give doesn't go directly to the pastor's pocket. It's not like you're paying for his salary only. I mean, the any of the goings-ons with the church, the giving, the missionaries, all of the support comes from the tithe. So even if you put aside the differences of Genesis or Romans and you want to battle it out with Bible verses, I mean, it's the right thing to do that way. And the second thing is, I don't know how they would think that that gets done without that, without your tithe. But the other thing is just to try it. If you try tithing and you just start out being what I consider it an act of faith, because I believe it is a written law for us to follow. But if you try it, I mean, God gives us everything anyway. What's 10%? What's 1 cent out of a dime? That would be nothing.
Yeah. Well, Mike, I think you raised
really
some great points. Yeah, no, you raised some great points, and that is that, you know, we should be, obviously, with our giving, and I would say from our increase off the top, because remember, the tithe was the first and the best in an agricultural society where you were giving the best or the first of your produce or what your farm yielded or of your cattle, whatever it might be, unblemished as an act of worship to the Lord right off the top, demonstrating His ownership of everything, because that leads to the other point you made, and that is it's not that 10% is God's, it's all God's. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. 100% is His. This is our opportunity just to return to Him a portion of what He has entrusted to us to participate in His work, and as you said, to be a part of funding the local fellowship, the body of Christ locally, the church. So great thoughts today. Thank you for weighing in.
Yeah, we do appreciate that call. Fort Lauderdale, Anthony, what are your thoughts? Hi, Anthony, you with us?
Program. Hi.
Hi.
Yes, so I agree that the Bible, I think, is clear that we should give, as Rob mentioned in 2 Corinthians 9, but also 1 Corinthians 16, says on the first day of every week, each one should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income. So I think it's clear, you know, God wants us to give on a regular basis. The question I have is the word tithing. I don't use that word. That's an Old Testament word for 10%. In the New Testament, the church, you know, when the church started beginning after the resurrection of Jesus and the book of Acts and so forth, they never use the word tithing. It's always, you know, contributions and giving and as much as you can. You know, like Rob said in 2 Corinthians, as you prosper, and in 1 Corinthians, and keeping with your income. I think, personally, 10% is, you know, we should have some percentage in our mind. Otherwise, you know, we may not know how little we might be giving when I think personally, and that's a personal issue, at least 10%. But the word tithing, I guess I don't use that because of, you know, if you understand what I'm saying, it's an Old Testament term, Old Testament principle, but the New Testament is clear on giving.
Sure, and I think you're exactly right there. And I think the idea there is proportionate giving, giving in proportion to how you've been prospered, what you've been entrusted. I like the idea of that systematic giving, what you've decided in your heart, which means it's not out of legalism, not trying to check a box, not trying to perhaps do something that would be celebrated by others, but between you and the Lord working that out. And I love the idea that even a 10% number is not an ending point. Perhaps you push it to 11 or 12% or you keep going. And then you get to the place as you experience the joy of giving, Anthony, where you begin to flip the question around and say, not how much should I give, but how much should I keep? And then you have an opportunity to say, what is my financial finish line? How much is enough? And over what point, both in savings, meaning my balance sheet or my income, am I going to cap it and say, Lord, this is the lifestyle I believe you've called me to. And beyond that, everything is going to be given to you. And there's been testimony after testimony throughout history of people that have done that, that have said, let me just tell you what God's been able to do, not because of me, but just because I've surrendered my heart out of obedience to him. And so I think the 10% can be limiting. At the same time, some people might say that it's out of reach. So in all of that, in prayer and recognizing God's ownership and recognizing the opportunity that we have to be found faithful in giving, I think therein lies the heart of this conversation.
Mm. Anthony, we appreciate your thoughts and comments today. Thank you so much for calling us. One more quick one before the break. Rhinelander, Wisconsin. Hi, Mary Lee. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I do. And first of all, I want to tell you guys that I really appreciate your program. You have saved me from some financial blunders.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that.
You know,
how can
and
we
it
help
kind
you
of
today?
Strange.
Oh, go right ahead.
Well, I just want to add just a little bit more.
Sure.
I hadn't listened to you guys for a week, and then all of a sudden, you know, I turned you on, and this guy had the same problem that I was, you know, wondering about. And it wasn't a fluke. God said, you know, these guys got some information for you. You better turn them on.
Oh, that's great. Well, I'll tell you, it's an encouragement to us and a real blessing to hear how God is working in your life. And we're just trying to bring his principles to bear. It's not our wisdom. It's the Lord's. But we appreciate your testimony today. How can we help you?
Okay. I have two questions. One, with regarding the governmental check that we all received.
Yeah.
Are we going to have to put that towards taxes and be taxed on it?
This actually, Mary Lee, is one instance where you don't have to report income on your tax return. The legislation providing for stimulus money to individuals expressly says that it's not taxable. Now, I will point out, however, that unemployment benefits during the coronavirus pandemic are taxable, as they are always are, but not the stimulus check.
Wonderful, because my car broke down, and I had no money to be able to fix it. And when this came along, it was like, oh, my gosh, I can fix my car.
Yeah. What a blessing. Hey, if you had a second question, you'll need to hang on for us. We've got to hit a break here. If not, thank you for calling today. We're grateful for you.
Yeah, but we'll talk to you a bit off the air, Mary Lee. Thanks so much for calling. This is Money Wise Live, taking your phone calls, your comments, your thoughts, your questions at 800-525-7000. And we'll be right back after this brief break.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
The difference between good ideas and God ideas. The first one is this. In challenges, because I've already said to you, we would think, oh, good, we're free from the law. So it's going to be easy from here. Not really. Let me tell you, and I say this about a holy and wonderful and gloriously righteous God who can do no wrong. But I've told you a lot of times, this thing is rigged. And this is a place where we'll see it. Number one is this. It is driven by relationship, not regulations. Now, why am I making that point? Because, see, wouldn't it be easier a lot of times? Isn't this our human nature? You know, Lord, just tell me. I want to tell me everything I need to know about what job I ought to have, who ought to date. Give it every single bit of it to me. Line it out A to Z. Put it in a manual. And then I'm just going to look it up. Who cares about having an intimate relationship with you? Just get it down on paper, and I'm going to look it up, and I'm just going to live by the manual. He said, no, you're going to live by relationship. So if we don't have a current, ongoing, and active relationship with him, we're not going to know how to obey the promptings of the Spirit, because it will always be relationally led and not regulationally led. Does that make sense to anybody?
You've been listening to Beth Moore with today's Quick Word. Beth would love for you to tune in each Tuesday night for Bible study. Class begins at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 Central on TBN. Maybe you had to miss a Tuesday. No problem. Go to BethMoore.org. That's BethMoore.org. You can watch the latest episode of her television program and more. Again, that's BethMoore.org.
Money and life run on the same track, but unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Again, here's our phone number, 800-525-7000. If you'd like to speak to Rob West today about anything financial, anything at all, give us a call. Rhinelander, Wisconsin. Just before the break, we were speaking with Mary Lee. And Mary Lee, what was your second question?
Okay, you have been talking about tithing, and I was wondering if we have to tithe on that government check.
Yeah, I appreciate you asking that question, because clearly by even asking it, you want to be found faithful in honoring the Lord and giving. You know, if we were to apply the principle of the tithe, and that's what we've been kind of wrestling with today, the principle of the tithe, Mary Lee, is that we give off of the increase. We give proportionately and systematically. If we apply the tithe, it literally means a tenth, and so we would give 10% on our increase. So then the question is, what is my increase? Well, I would really lump all provision from the Lord, because it all comes from him, into that increase, which would say my salary is my increase, my inheritance is my increase, my Social Security is my increase, and my stimulus check is my increase. And I would see, again, even though it's by way of the government, it's all part of God's provision, because it all belongs to him anyway. So if you're applying the principle of the tithe, I would say absolutely, you would give proportionately based on the income you received.
Okay, I appreciate that. I was wondering about it, and it is definitely God's blessing to me.
Yes.
Really is.
Clearly.
Well, we hope it Yeah, we hope it helps you with your car, that's for sure, Mary Lee. And and God bless you for your generous heart. We appreciate your phone call today. Thanks. And, you know, Rob, that's a question lots of people are asking. You know, I'm getting this money from the government. Am I supposed to tithe from it? And that's, you know, it's a tough question.
Well, yeah, and I think, again, going back to the understanding that all provision is from the Lord because it all belongs to him. He may choose to provide through your employer or the government or somebody who shows up at the front doorstep who said, the Holy Spirit told me I should stop here and offer you this basket of groceries. Whatever it is, it's God's provision. And so we give out of recognition of that proportionately off of the increase to say, God, I want to honor you with this.
All right. Muskegon, Michigan. Hello, Margaret. Welcome to MoneyWise and what's on your mind?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you hear me? Oh, awesome. I have a question, and I know some of the answers have varied. I've read a little bit about Dave Ramsey and, you know, about him with finances. But my question is, if you have, like, two or three credit cards and, you know, one is, you know, they're varied in their prices.
Interest
and
stuff, rates.
Which one should you... Interest rates. Which one should you pay off first? What would be your...
Well, there's two schools of thought on this, Margaret. And you know, one is called the debt snowball. And then playing on that, the next one is called the debt avalanche. And interestingly, there's been quite a few studies on this in terms of which is the best way to pay off your debts. So let me quickly describe them. The debt snowball basically says you line up your cards or your balances from smallest to largest. You pay the minimums on all of them. Then you go back to your budget. You decrease spending wherever you can to free up as much margin as possible. And that's just what's left over after all the bills are paid. We want to try to get that number as high as you can with all the minimums being paid. And let's say you end up with $100 a month extra that you could apply directly to principal. Well, debt snowball would say that you'd pay the minimums on all the cards, let's say five, but you'd take that $100 and you'd apply it to the one with the smallest balance. Until it's paid off. And then you'd take that 100 plus the minimum payment and go to the next card and write down the line. The debt avalanche flips it around a little bit and lines it up from smallest to largest interest rate. Here's the end of the story, though. The studies say the debt snowball comes out ahead because it gives you the momentum when you pay those small balances off to keep going.
Margaret, we're glad that you called today. Hope that information helps you. We'll be right back.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
Hi, I'm Tricia, and I work for Moody Radio. The Moody Bible Institute verse of the week is found in Jude 20 and 21. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. That's Jude 20 and 21, the Moody Bible Institute verse of the week.
We all long for something good, true, and secure. There's a hunger for a hope that goes beyond politics and entertainment and reaches deep into our souls. That hunger can only be satisfied by Jesus. For more than 90 years, Moody Radio has faithfully delivered that message of hope to millions so they can take the next step in their walk with Christ.
Call 1-800-DL-MOODY or visit moodyradio.org.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. A big announcement from President Trump today at the White House affecting houses of worship. The president instructing governors around the country to allow churches and other houses of worship, including synagogues and mosques, to reopen this weekend. The president says that they are essential businesses, and he laments the fact that some states consider businesses like liquor stores essential, but not houses of worship. National parks will be open this Memorial Day weekend. There will be some changes at the war memorials in Washington, D.C., but will still be accessible. Meanwhile, Washington, D.C. Mayor Muro Bowser says the numbers are pointing to the start of a gradual reopening process in the nation's capital starting at the end of the month. It was a mixed bag on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was down by 9 points to 24,465. The NASDAQ gained 40. This is SRN News.
If you'd like to visit us on Facebook, you'll find us listed under MoneyWise Media or MoneyWise Radio. Check it out. If you'd like to visit our website, I'd encourage you to do that. Maybe you'll have some free time this weekend. You'll find much more information about who we are, what we do, some free downloads, radio archives, budget templates. Check it all out at MoneyWiseLive.org. And then lastly, if you're a fan of the program, if you find yourself listening on a regular basis and maybe being entertained or learning something along the way, perhaps you'd like to help us as a special friend. You can make a donation when you visit moneywiselive.org. Just click the donate tab at the top of the page, and thank you for your help and generosity. Maple Heights, Illinois, Jacqueline, what's on your mind today?
Hello. Hi. I was calling because I kind of had a question and a comment about the tithing. And
yes,
I know a lot of people say that it's an Old Testament principle, but I know that tithing was actually before the law. So, you know, and then they go to the New Testament, but then the New Testament actually says that we're under a better covenant, so we should be doing better things. My question is that, well, I guess my comment is, I see a lot of people that are really opposed to tithing, but yet they don't follow the New Testament principle either of doing better. And I think it's just, even though there's a lot of people that faithfully give, I'm finding a lot of people that are really opposed to the tithing just maybe don't want to give anyway.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I kind of have a problem with that.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Jacqueline, and I think it really does come down to an ownership question. You know, when you get that right, when you recognize God owns it all, this is not mine to begin with, it begins to change your thinking because now you're a manager of the Father's resources. And so just if you were to manage money for anyone, you would want to hear from them and you'd want to know what's on their heart as you manage their money. And in the same way, we should be talking to the Father. We shouldn't let money take God's rightful place on the throne of our lives, which it can often do if we're not careful. But when we get it right and it's about God and money is a tool and we're managing it according to His purposes and we see how generous He is and we see what He says about generosity and the ability to give systematically to support the work of the local church, to give beyond that to the needs that are on God's heart, whether it's the teaching of God's word or the ministry of God's mercy or the ministry of God's justice or whatever's going on that we have the opportunity to participate in, that's where it begins to get exciting. So it's not how much do I have to give, it's how much can I give and what do I need to do, God, with your money to follow your principles so I have even more to join in your work. And by the way, the compounding, the rate of return we get in eternity compared to temporal compounding doesn't even compare. compare. And so when we put money into the kingdom, the law of reward says it's going to compound for all of eternity, and only heaven will tell us the fruit of our giving that was done in the name of Jesus. So I completely agree, and I think we need to really, each of us, take a look at our own hearts and our motivations.
Yeah. Great observations, Jacqueline. Thank you very much for calling in today. 800-525-7000. Elmhurst, Illinois. Sam has a question about, I think he's trying to sell his house.
Sam, how can we help today, yes, sir?
I was trying to sell a condo, and it's got a special assessment coming up that's due, and the realtor said I can't transfer that to the new owner. I have to pay that off before the sale of the house. And I was wondering if that was accurate. And that the ties, I list the house at 168. He's hoping to get 160 for the house.
Okay. I would, in this case, talk to a real estate attorney, Sam, just to get some legal counsel on this. A special assessment tax is a surtax levied on property owners, and they're generally to pay for specific local infrastructure projects. It may have been a construction or maintenance of roads or sewer lines. Sometimes even an HOA, of course, will make a special assessment for a maintenance project. The tax is charged only to the owners of the property, of course, in the neighborhood that benefit from the project, and that neighborhood is called the Special Assessment District. Now, they're levied for a preset number of years, and that's why it may not be transferable if you're making payments over time. But again, I would consult with a real estate attorney. Perhaps you could check with somebody in your church to get a referral. You could contact a certified Kingdom advisor there in Illinois and ask for a referral. But you'd want to get some legal counsel just to understand what is permissible and what's not, but it may be, in fact, that what you're hearing is true and it's not transferable. And if that's the case, it would need to be paid before the property is transferred.
Sam, we're going to let you go on that, but we hope it works out for you. Thank you very much. Evansville, Indiana. Marcia, you have a tithing question about what, your Social Security?
Yes, but I have to give you guys a compliment first.
Oh, we take those.
You guys need it. See, Brother Steve and Brother Rob, I'll tell you what, I've listened to you guys off and on. I don't always catch you, but I've seen how gracious and what a beautiful bedside manner you guys have, because there's been many different types of people that call. Some are not understanding things, and others are highly intelligent and are used to doing finances and deep things, and you guys just do a beautiful job, and it reflects Jesus. And I appreciate
That means a whole lot that you would say that. Our goal here, Marcia, is to be hopeful, to be encouraging, and really to try to reflect the heart of God in all of these things we talk about. So your affirmation of that is really something that means a lot to us. Thank you. Thank
you very guys much. Do, and you're scripturally sound, both of you, so thank you. And you guys are fun. You guys know how to enjoy. There's joy there when every time I hear you all. Your voice has joy in it, and it's genuine. It's not that false stuff.
Well, what it is, Marcia, it's just a lot of caffeine. It's pretty much what it is.
You guys are so fun. How long have you been friends?
Who said we were friends?
I was going to see if you were going to claim me. Marcia, we need to let you hang around more often. I like talking to you. How can we help you today?
You guys ready for the question?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
All right. I'm kind of dictating now, taking over. Sorry. This is kind of ignorant of me, and that's okay, because you guys are really nice with people that don't know what they're doing. But in essence, back in the day when I was working and single and everything, even married and stuff, you know, I would tithe off of the growth.
Yes.
And I did love offerings too and stuff. But in essence, and I just heard you saying we're supposed to be tithing off of our Social Security check. Didn't I already kind of like blast into that? I mean, I'm not worried about doing stuff for God, because we don't put like amounts on when he tells us to do something, as long as we have a confirmation and know we do it.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I think the big idea is that all provision is coming from the Lord. And so that's the big idea. If we want to drill down kind of on the math of it, which is legitimate, you know, the challenge is that you have to recognize Social Security is not just what you contributed, because your employer did as well, right? And I guess my approach is, these are legitimate questions by good-hearted people. I just don't drill down and trying to estimate how much is increase, how much is return of capital. You know, in the farming economy of the biblical times, they didn't subtract the amount of the wheat they had planted in computing the tithe. They tithed on the whole increase. So my opinion is everything we get is a gracious gift of God, regardless of what I put in. And giving is about nurturing that closer relationship with Christ by loving Him for His provision. And we certainly do that as we give. So that's why all my increase, I would just put in that category and then give as God leads.
Marcia, you're a sweetheart. God bless you. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. We'll be right back after this.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. It's disturbing to keep up with the stats that show how we're changing as a society. Take this one, for instance. Middle-aged white guys are killing themselves in record numbers, increasing faster than any other age or racial group. Obviously, something's wrong. What's happening here? It's a complicated subject, but at the core, middle-aged white guys are struggling to find an adequate reason to live. Our life has to have meaning or we won't value it, and it becomes easier to quit on it. That's where we are today. The ultimate reason for living is found in living God's purpose for your life. He alone gives life a meaning that's not fleeting, changing your life and the lives around you for eternity. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone you're with today closer to Jesus. If you want to know how easy that is, go to ROTW.com.
This is Max McLean. How does our faith in Christ grow and mature? Listen to the Bible from James 1. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. From James 1. Listen to the Bible. It's great for the soul.
To hear more, go to radiobible.org.
Do you know the 7 things not to do with your money in uncertain times? And would you like to know the 10 ways to trim your budget amid the current pandemic? You'll get those answers and much more when you subscribe to the new MoneyWise e-magazine. You'll receive valuable expert articles and easy-to-follow advice. You'll even get access to exclusive podcast episodes. And your subscription is free. Get access to the MoneyWise e-magazine at moneywiselive.org/signup.
Welcome back to MoneyWise Live, where we do our best to help you find God's plan for your financial life. This Plains, Illinois. Sharon, thanks for holding, and how can we help?
Yes, I had a question regarding tithing. Mm-hmm. We don't have a home church that we're going to right now because of the COVID thing, and our income is basically set income per month, and we were wondering if it would be okay to tithe several different businesses or possibly ministries and make up the tithe that way.
Yeah, I think that's a fine way to approach it, Sharon. You know, the other approach you could take is say, you know, we want to give based on the principle of the tithe off the top. We're going to divide up our increase weekly, and wherever the Lord has us worshiping that week, we're going to give 1/4 of it to that particular church and use that as a way to bless them. But if the Lord leads you some other way, again, I don't think this is about checking a box or being legalistic. Clearly, when God plants you in your new home fellowship, I think that's where you should be giving first, giving proportionately and systematically to the local church. But while you're searching for a church home, and obviously you can't visit around right now because of social distancing, I think the Lord will certainly honor your generous heart however he leads you.
Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you getting a hold of you guys. God bless.
Absolutely,
we listen to you every day.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad. We appreciate
you. Thank you very much. Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye-bye. Let's go to the state of Tennessee next. Hi, Kathy. What's your question for Rob West?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My husband passed away last year, and I filed our 2019 taxes and, of course, put on there that he was deceased. I did that in February, and I was supposed to got a refund, and I haven't gotten it back yet, so I assume they haven't gotten my return yet, or at least got to it yet. Uh-huh. And the stimulus money I got for him and me, am I going to have to pay his back?
Yes, ma'am. So if it has his name on it, the Treasury Department says stimulus checks made out to deceased taxpayers should be returned to the IRS. If the check was sent by mail, it would be voided and then mailed back to the IRS. If the payments were made via direct deposit, the surviving spouse would write a check to the government and mail it in. So you would need to return it, and obviously you'd want to do that in the right way. But it certainly happens, and we've heard about it a number of times, and so that would be what is expected at this point.
Hmm.
Okay, you send it directly to the IRS.
Yes, ma'am. There is actually an FAQ on the website on how to return that. If you just go to irs.gov/coronavirus, there's a lot of information there. And one of the questions on that page is related to this topic with the instructions on what you do. So I would visit irs.gov/coronavirus, and you can see specifically what you need to do and how you need to go about returning that.
Mm-hmm. Does that help,
thank
Kathy?
You. I appreciate it.
God bless.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. That's it.
Alrighty. Bye-bye. You know, a real spiritual person like yourself, Rob, would say, hey, that's the law. Mail it back. Dead and, no conversation. But there are some of us that would say, listen, she just lost her husband. She's got the check. Cut her some slack. God says render unto Caesar. And in this case, that's the right thing to do, correct?
Well, that's exactly right, Steve. This is God's money, and so how do you think the Father would want you to handle his money? I think the answer will become pretty plain when we ask it that way.
Hebrews 13 says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you or forsake you. There are lots of other verses, Rob, that point out that God has promised to meet our needs. And yet there are people listening today, we know this is a fact, that continue to be generous, continue to give, and yet they sense, they feel that God's not hearing them. And in some cases, maybe God isn't really meeting their needs. And so they're a bit frustrated, perhaps even a little upset with God because he doesn't seem to be coming through with his end of the bargain. What would you say to them?
Yeah. Well, I would just recognize that everything we have is a blessing from the Lord. And God has not promised us in this fallen earth that we find ourselves in right now until he comes again and we're in heaven with him or on the new earth with him forever. There are going to be trials. And it's not the fact that the way we handle money doesn't have anything to do, or our spiritual life really doesn't have anything to do with necessarily the amount we'll have financially that passes through our hands. Those things are not connected. And so we just need to be found faithful with however little or however much. You remember Apostle Paul said, I've learned to be content in times of plenty. I've learned to be content in times of need. The key is, does God have my heart? And I think that's where we need to come back to, make it a matter of prayer. He's promised to provide for our needs, not our wants. We can take him at his word. But I think at the end of the day, Steve, we don't need to see this as some, in some way, my financial struggles being an indictment on my faith. Rather, we need to see it, everything we have, as a blessing from the Lord.
Yeah. And these days, it really does appear that God uses the body of Christ to do his work. And that includes work within the body of Christ. So if you have needs and you haven't ever mentioned those to the body, to the people that you go to church with, your pastor, whomever, even though it may feel bad or be hard or difficult, don't forget to share your concerns and your needs with others so that they can pray with you, and perhaps God would has blessed them with more so that they might even be able to help you financially. We've seen that time and time again. So do your part to help others and allow others to help you. All righty, let's go to, Redding, California. Hi, Bonnie. What's your question for Rob?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Just a quick question. I have a pension plan with a company that I've worked for years ago, and just recently they filed Chapter 11. And so, and then they changed my commencement date to where I could start it next month if I needed to. But my question is this. I'm not sure what to do at this point, because one of the options that they've taken off of the table is the lump sum rollover. So now they're saying that I have two options. I can either take a 5-year certain life annuity or 10-year, and it is taxable money. And so I'm not sure what to do. I don't really need the money right now, but I don't know that I want to just leave it sitting there, because I cannot put a beneficiary on that until I actually have a commencement date and start receiving the funds. So if anything were to happen to me, then that money would absorb back into the company and my children wouldn't get it.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, under a Chapter 11, which is a reorganization, usually the company is going to continue in business under a court's protection while attempting to reorganize their financial affairs. So it may or may not affect a pension plan. In your case, it did, in the sense that the lump sum came off the table. But normally it would continue to exist throughout the reorganization process. I think the key is to recognize, although there may be some protection, you know, that is one of the risks associated with this, in that if the company were to dissolve completely or file Chapter 7 with a liquidation, you know, that may impact your ability to continue to receive those pension dollars. So I would probably, in this case, given the situation, take that money in as short a term as possible for those reasons, just to ensure the greater likelihood that you would get the full benefit that is coming your way. And obviously, as you said, as soon as you make that election, you can put a beneficiary on there, which would be very important.
Right. Okay. And so then if I, and there's no way of getting around paying the taxes, even if I have it rolled over into an active IRA, or at this point, perhaps even a Roth IRA.
Well, if they give you the option to roll this money over into an IRA, it would obviously defer those taxes until you take it out of the IRA. But I suspect they're going to pay that out to you based on the schedule that you elect as taxable income.
And Bonnie, I hope that helps you. Thank you very much. And Rob, one more, if I may. This caller was on hold, and then unfortunately they had to hang up. But here's the gist of it. How do I get my adult children to understand the importance of tithing? They think all the money goes to the pastor.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think as you begin to explain, you know, the fact that the local church is supported by God's people, and just like a business, even though a local church is not necessarily a business like we would typically think of it, they have all of the same needs. They've got the staffing needs and the infrastructure, and they got to keep the lights on, and they got to keep it clean, and they've got to do all of these things. You might talk through the fact that there's no other place for that money to come from. It's not coming from the government. It's not coming from revenue-generating opportunities that the church has. It's coming from God's people who are being faithful to support the work of the local church. And that is the institution ordained by God from the very beginning that Jesus sent out the 12 to launch, that has been really essential, and even the temple before that in the Old Testament, for the work of the Lord. And so I think as you begin to talk through that and explain the role role of the local church and the needs that the local church has. Hopefully that'll become clear. I think also taking them back to Scripture and really beginning to explore some of those passages. And a great resource for that is the Financial Stewardship Bible. We've got it in our store at moneywiselive.org. All the passages on money are highlighted in green, and it would be a great resource just to begin to meditate on those passages and understand God's heart as it relates to our money.
That's a great suggestion, Rob. Thank you very much. It's been a great week. We covered a lot of ground today, I think, and I trust you and your family will have a great Memorial Day weekend. Right?
Well, thank you, Steve, and you and Marcia as well.
Thanks very much. We'll be back Monday. However, I will tell you that we'll be on tape Monday. Monday's Memorial Day program has been pre-recorded, but please, please tune in. Lots of good information coming your way. My thanks to our technical crew, Judy, Courtney, Gabby T, and Jim Henry. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. Sneeze into your sleeve. Have a great weekend.